This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Matt Wolf. Matt's a senior leader at in valuations and healthcare analyst at analysis at RSM. Matt's going to talk today about what professional services firms are looking at for the next couple of years. Professional services had this crazy busy year last year, especially those like RSM that are complete leaders in the private equity sector. What should leaders at sort of professional services firms be thinking about, not necessarily your firm, but at law firms, accounting firms, consulting firms? How should they be looking at this coming year? There's been talent issues, technology issues at some firms, and people have had just not enough staff to staff the deal flow that there was last year, probably the busiest time in the history of professional services firms. What should leaders be thinking about this coming year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you kind of alluded to it a little bit, Scott, but it really is labor and people. Whether you're a consulting firm, a law firm, you know, kind of financial accounting outsourcing type of firm, people is your largest asset. That's what a professional service firm is. And we have seen just so much change and disruption in that, not only in terms of the number of people who want to work in, say, public accounting, you know, the number of people applying to be an accounting major at universities or something like that, but also just in the way that those people who do want to work in professional services, want to make their career there, how they want to engage in that, what that experience is. And, you know, labor really has had more kind of power and pressure over employers today than it has in decades. And this is true across industries, you know, even outside of professional services. So I think, you know, what leaders of professional services firms really need to think about, and what I can tell you most are, is how do we think about labor going forward? What is the right mix of labor and technology as we try to serve our clients and execute? Now is a great time to think about innovation and automation and deploying better analytics to deliver some of those same services, reevaluating that mix of technology versus labor. And then for the labor that you do use, you know, what does that experience look like? What does that career trajectory look like?
And Matt, let me ask you a couple questions on that, because I couldn't agree more with what you're saying, but I want just perspective on it. I stayed at one professional services firm, well, engaging in other things for 30 years now, which is totally makes me a complete dinosaur type of person. Yeah, it really does. But what does that look like going forward? You know, and the old model of business was you had this almost pyramid structure where the big firms were making lots of money and stacking lots of junior people on big deals overseen by some partners, service partners, senior associates, senior partners. And you had this very traditional model. And that model has become much more horizontal, hasn't it? And what does that look like going forward? What was that traditional model? And it would be the same thing at a big consulting or accounting firm. Lots of juniors running the field work on audits and a mid-level person trying to organize them. Maybe a little bit more senior person trying to really figure out the core recommendations or the core findings, you know, from all this research being done by junior people that are stacked on a client. How does that look as it's changing? And what does technology come into that as, if you don't have enough people, are less people going into accounting than there were before?
Well, I'm going to, there's a lot to unpack there. It's a fantastic question. And I will say that traditional model, the sort of implicit or in some cases explicit arrangement there was, okay, you know, I'm the partner of this firm. We have new staff that come in. All right, put your nose to the grindstone for the next 10 to 15, maybe 20 years, and then you will become a very well-compensated partner of this firm. And that, you know, you're going to have to go through, kind of slog through this work, but don't worry, stick around, we will take care of you. Now, the kind of generational, we've had a lot of once-in-a-generation events over the past 15 years or so between the pandemic, the global financial crisis, 9/11, I guess going back 20 years now, geez. You know, and so the most of the employees in the labor force, they don't have confidence in that type of arrangement where they can't say, okay, well, this firm is going to be around for 20 years. So yeah, I'm going to put my nose to the grindstone and then I'll get I'll get paid off on the back end, because they just been through too many once in a generational events to believe in that arrangement. People still want to come into professional services, but they want to come into it a little bit differently, right? So we're seeing fewer accounting majors, for example, but seeing more people who are interested in public accounting that have computer science degrees, right? And so what this new horizontal structure means is saying, okay, well, we need to kind of shorten that timeline and make the kind of path towards compensation shorter, more clear. We can no longer have this implicit like 10 to 20 year sort of agreement, because that trust just doesn't exist. It's no fault of the professional services firms. It's just the macro reality of it. So how do we use technology so that now on these large deals, you know, we can use technology, we need fewer junior staff members, but the flip side of that is now, instead of ticking and tying numbers until 2 o'clock in the morning, we need you to come with these new skills that you're developing as part of your computer science or whatever other background, add more value to our clients, and then, you know, we can kind of sustain that more horizontal structure, if that makes sense.
No, it hugely does. And I come from, of course, the law background, and I am so old that in the old days, used to redline documents, meaning show changes in documents by hand, and there would be stacks of junior lawyers, you know, at high prices doing that. And obviously that became automated through computer systems and so forth. And it was just the cusp of the beginning of automation. And we talk about in almost every business, this concept today of recruit, retain, and automate. So you're trying to recruit people, retain people, and you're trying to automate whatever you can. And it just is a constant effort to figure out where is the cost-benefit analysis in automating. And you have to do it, because even if you don't want to do it, you have to do it because of staffing shortages, and you have to do it because if you don't do it, others will do it at a better price or a more efficient pathway for a client. So there's no way around this constant race to automate, but it's figuring out where AI can be applied, where automation can be applied, and so forth. What a fascinating evolution. And you know, obviously, at whatever professional services firm you're at, it used to be the big concern is, are you finding enough clients? Is there enough business? Over the last couple of years, it's rotated to, are you, you know, you do enough labor, the right people at each level to really staff things well at the way that they're supposed to be staffed. But what a fascinating transformation. You know, you must watch the junior people at your firm and how they've evolved and how they work. I watch my daughter, who's a young consultant at one of the traditional big four accounting firms doing consultant, and watching how that's evolved too. And that pathway has evolved. But what a fascinating thing to watch, this evolution and how professional services firms will be run in this race towards innovation and automation. Just fascinating, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the other thing I would add to all the great points you made is that the automation, I think, for employers is a differentiator when you're attracting talent, right? Imagine going on campus and instead of saying, look, okay, you'll be hired as an associate, here's kind of some of the menial things you'll be doing. But, you know, it's a great training ground, really good career builder. It's sort of like the previous shtick, right? And now you say, well, no, look, we've developed all this great automation. What we need you to come and do is to interact more with some of the people at our client, you know, some of the lower level people or something. We need you to take the information that the automation is kind of putting together and help make sense of it, help analyze it, right? You're not doing the same thing. It's a very different experience. It's more value added to the clients. It's more value added from a career perspective and from a learning perspective. And it'll really help attract and retain more top talent too.
Fascinating. I mean, truly fascinating. It really is. In the old days, people just bought into the concept for a couple of years, doing a tremendous amount of grunt work and trying to differentiate yourself to sort of move up to the next level of associate, next level of partner, next level of everything, or senior manager, whatever the title might be. And now it's really going to use highly bright people at just a little bit higher level earlier on, and still with some mix of grunt work and so forth. I mean, just there's no way around it. What a fascinating perspective. What a fascinating time of change afoot. Matt Wolf, always a pleasure to visit with you. We'll get this podcast out very shortly. Thank you for joining the Becker Private Equity Business Podcast.
Thank you, Scott.